Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show, and I'm your host, Magdalena Bito. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight, and we will have a lovely topic again, Power of Self-Healing, with my guest, Dr. Danielle Brooks. Good evening, Danielle.
Good evening, Magdalena.
Hey, thank you for accepting. Doing excellent. I'm so excited to have you here on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here with everyone.
I know. I had already another interview with Dr. Brooks last week, and we had just a fantastic time.
We did. And so here we are for round two.
Exactly. So, okay, before we start with the show, I just wanted to let our listener know if they have any question for you or for both of us, they can call us in on 1-888-627-6008. Awesome. Well, listen, let's start. I'm so excited. This topic today is really on my heart, and I recognize you are very passionate also about that. And the topic it is power of self-healing. And what is amazing to me that Dr. Danielle Brooks, she holds also a PhD in religion and human development. She's also a teacher at the Metropolitan University and also international sound healer and author. And Danielle, we will actually talk about your book later on in the interview, okay? Just wanted to let you know about that.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yes, I know that you're, you know, working with individuals and groups, and you know, you support their ability to transform their lives with a heart-centered awareness. And this is when I read this kind of stuff, it is so, you know, close to my heart, because this is what my show is all about: being conscious, living consciously, and become, you know, aware of what's fully going on, in order so we can create a transformation.
Yes,
and you are actually a prime example of the topic for tonight, what we are talking about. And the reason why I'm saying a prime example, because you have been self-healed yourself from cancer, and you're also passionate about holistic health and the ability to transform ourselves. So Danielle, I would actually would like you to start with your own story, if you don't mind, and then we can kind of go into that conversation.
Well, absolutely.
Thank you.
We are all powerful storytellers. You know, our lives are based on the stories that we tell ourselves about our experiences. And that the beauty about that is that it can change in any given moment. The way that you look at your life means that you can recreate the story, you can rewrite it. And for myself, my story was that as long as I have known, as long as I've been on this earth, I've been passionate about life, about living, about learning, and just learning and exploring as much as I possibly could about absolutely everything. And that meant that I traveled extensively. I lived in many different countries, and I was constantly seeking to understand, seeking to grow, seeking to expand. And as a result, when my life fell apart, I would say that I went through a year which was incredibly tumultuous, and it was like everything that could go wrong went wrong, and it happened one after the other. It was like just watching your life fall apart in slow motion. And the result of that was I was left with a profound amount of trauma. And very shortly, and that I bring that up because that's essential. I had so much trauma, and it was emotional trauma, as well as physical trauma. But the body is only mirroring what the soul wants your attention to be brought to. And so the trauma was very much emotional. And I went into the doctor and received a diagnosis that I never would have suspected, and yet at the same time, I knew right away that this development of cancer in my body was not a coincidence. Nothing is ever a coincidence. It was a direct result of all that I had been living. And I looked at it as a wake-up call. And in that way, it became an opportunity of choice. So I can't say that at that point in time that I was feeling very strong. I'll be very honest with you. I was
Exactly.
so broken.
Mm-hmm.
I was so broken that I didn't really have very much of a will to live. But I had the very great fortune to meet a healer. And as I was always seeking, I was forever going to see a variety of different healers and learning from the elders. And this particular elder was an Aboriginal woman in Australia where I was living. And she just said two things to me. She said, "You're dying fast." And this I already knew. But she said, "You can heal yourself. You can. And you're going to need to begin at the very beginning, which is not what's been happening this year. You have to go back. You have to go back into the roots of your pain." And you know, the fact that she said that I could heal, the fact that she said that this was a possibility was something that my doctors were not saying. And so I clung to that. Oh, yeah. This was a life raft. Mm-hmm. And I clung to her belief in me and in my ability to be able to journey this. And so that began the process and the path that I'm walking and have continued to walk, which was exploring how do we heal. And what is the beginning? Because when you start unraveling your life, you start realizing that every experience is based on a previous thought or belief, and every experience is based on a perception. And so where do those beliefs come from? Where do those initial pains begin? Where did the trauma start? And how do I recreate it? How do I rewrite it? And that became the journey. And I'll tell you that I chose to walk this path not so that I could now speak about it with other people. For the longest time, it was such a raw and intimate thing. It's not something that you share so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of walking this path, I found that the more loving I became, the lighter I became. And the more forgiving I became, the stronger I became. And I started to realize that healing is really about love, loving what is, loving the pain, loving the hurts. And I was realizing that I had a lot of pain and a lot of hurt that needed that love.
Well, Danielle, that's exactly what that's a primary point here, that we have to kind of get in connection with that energy.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because it's only when we refuse it and when we're afraid of it that our suffering is prolonged. And so I'll tell you this very honestly. It wasn't cancer that I was focusing on. Cancer was the icing on the cake. I was actually more concerned with my state of mind, my mental state, and my complete and utter depression. I was more interested in understanding how I had gotten to the place that I was at, as opposed to how do I deal with the cancer. I guess very early on, I looked at cancer as simply what my body was wanting to express that was coming from deeper within me, which was my heart, my soul, my thoughts, my emotions, and to begin that deep work. And when you really do that kind of deep work, when you start looking at changing yourself fundamentally from deep within you, the body starts to change as well. But the body is the densest of all of our bodies. We have the emotional body, we have the mental body, we have all these different layers. So by the time cancer has come into the physical body, that trauma...
We have many layers underneath.
Exactly. And it's been there. And it's mm-hmm. been in those other layers for a very long time. And so if you want to pull it out the way that you would pull a weed out, you want to pull it out by the root, which means address the core. Change your beliefs. Change your perception. Reflect on how you've been creating. Learn from it. In this way, you reinvent yourself. And what's extraordinary is that the body's ability to heal is so profound. And this is something we all have inherent within us. But we need to love ourselves. And we need to begin by loving the hurts and being aware of them and being willing to do this work, really be willing to step into it one step at a time. And what happens as you do that is it begins to change, it transforms, and the pain transmutes into more trust, greater faith, a deeper sense of compassion, letting go, and all of this builds you, it grows you, it develops you into a completely new person. And in this way, we become more of who we are, and that pain and that suffering becomes a fundamental teacher that leads you into love, that leads you into a more united consciousness, both with yourself and with the world around you, because you move from the pain and into a heart-centered way of living.
Yes. And you know, Danielle, you just mentioned an amazing word, suffering. And I have to say that just when we are looking right now what's really going on in the world, we are dealing with so much pain, so much suffering, and everybody's just talking, oh, just be positive, don't think negative, and all these, you know, statements, which doesn't mean anything. We are just pushing away all that what's really have to be actually acknowledged.
Yeah, it requires awareness. And mm-hmm. that's an exercise in being both willing and present. You have to be open and you have to be present and to see what's going on. You can't turn a blind eye. The suffering is very real. And yes. all suffering is a result of being out of alignment with our true nature. And what we see around us, this suffering around us, it's a mirror for the suffering that's going on inside.
You know, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, check out what's going on in Africa and many other poor countries. I mean, this is not what we are talking about right now, because, you know, there could be a lot of political issue involved there too. But what we are really talking about right now in the state where we are right now, where you have actually everything around yourself, but your body and your mind and your heart is not in alignment. That's what we are talking about. And I think many people can relate to that here.
And I mean, if we were to look at things globally, then we need to understand it that from a collective consciousness, that we as humans are not in alignment with our heart. We are out of alignment with our true state. And that's what causes suffering. We see it in our brothers and our sisters all over the world. And we live with this, we live in cultures that foster lack. This obsession that we're not enough, or that we can't have enough, or that what we have is, we need more. All of this, when I speak about this in some ways, Magdalena, I'm referring both within the inner suffering mm-hmm. as well as the collective suffering, because it's a yeah. mirror. It's a mirror. You know, and it requires yeah. awareness, and it requires a shift. From a fear-based way of living and into a much more compassionate, loving way of living.
Yeah, this is what we are also talking about, that, you know, we really wanted to address these two words, the pain and the fear. Because people, I think, they are so afraid about these two words. They are not understanding that actually pain and fear have a detrimental a power here.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely do. I think of, you know, fear is essential, and it's a messenger. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is a messenger. It's wanting to get your attention. And it's essential that we listen to the fear, because if you don't listen to the fear, you're not going to get the message. But it's just trying to give you a message. That's all. And so it's really working with it as opposed to denying it or suppressing it. It's the same thing with pain. If our fear of fear is so great, and our fear of pain is so great,
absolutely,
that we don't allow ourselves to actually work with it so that it can help us to actually grow and to develop. You know, pain is intrinsic part of life. just as joy is, and it's a foundational teacher. If we use it to learn from, it will bring us into a greater place of expansiveness and growth and also fulfillment. But when we deny it, when we repress it, when we refuse to accept it, it keeps us in a place of withholding love. And also it keeps us separate from our opportunities to really be all that we can be and to be creators, to really step into our power to transform.
You know, Danielle, I was thinking as I was preparing, you know, the show, as I always say also, you know, with a different and challenging topics about what I bring to the show, this power of self-healing is actually not necessarily for everybody, okay? Because we have to understand that not everybody has the capacity and courage to stand up and say, okay, you know what? I am actually putting that a whole responsibility on myself, and what can I do to change all this? It's so easy to go to the doctors and get the prescription. And listen, I'm not going and talking to those people. You know, I'm not talking against doctors. We need doctors. We need, you know, surgeons. We need everybody else. But in today, 21st century, since we are dealing with so much energy, and understanding that everything is energy, we are talking about there are so many people, they are looking for the whole new way of healing. That's what I'm trying to kind of, you know, bring to the focus here.
Yeah, absolutely. For myself, my path was my own. Each person's path is going to be unique.
Exactly. And this is what I really wanted to also let our listener know, that we are, you know, everybody has its own journey.
Yes. And each, whatever someone chooses for them, whatever practice or medicine, all medicines at their root, all medicines are love, you know? And so when I'm talking about self-healing, yes, I did it all naturally, but that doesn't mean that that's someone else's journey. My goodness.
Exactly. And that's what we wanted also to, you know, clarify here.
Yes, we have such great wisdom, and we have advanced in so many ways, and it's amazing. And it's essential that that each individual make that choice for themselves. And so in that way, I want to talk about responsibility.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Because responsibility emancipates us. It's our ability to respond. So if you are going to see a doctor, a healer, anybody, it doesn't matter, and you are expecting them to fix you, you're giving your power away. You see, they are here, practitioners, doctors, we are here to support, we are here to share, we are here to walk with you in the knowledge and in the wisdom that we have. And that is our role, that is our passion, that is our joy. Self-healing really comes from that taking ownership and responsibility for your own journey, in the sense of saying, I am going to walk this as I choose to walk this, and no one else can make me better. I'm going to make myself better by choosing the medicines that resonate for me, by choosing the foods that resonate for me, by choosing what it is that I feel I want to choose, that feels right to me. You see, when we expect someone else to fix us, when we expect someone else to take responsibility for us, mm-hmm. we kind of, what we do is that we're disempowering ourselves, because we're expecting someone else to do for us something that we need to do for ourselves first, which is to say, this is my journey, and I'm going to choose to walk it how I want to walk it, and I want to walk it with you. I want to walk it with this medicine for now, or I want to try this, or I want to try that. You see, that's a fundamental shift right there, because what I'm talking about is the way that you relate to your journey.
And to yourself. That's hugely important also.
Yes.
Because nobody knows me better than I do myself.
Yes. And I say to people that come to see me, you know, in my healing practice, you're the healer. Mm-hmm. I'm the conduit. My work is to hold a space, a sacred space, and a profound energy around you to support you. But I cannot do for you what you need to do for yourself, which is to actively participate, actively involve, and take responsibility for your, for in the sense of take responsibility for your ability to receive this work. You know?
Absolutely. And you know, Danielle, you know, I mean, in my own personal experience in dealing with my clients, I also recognize when you're trying to share this kind of powerful information, a lot of time their own perception and their own beliefs are actually blocking the information because they don't have the understanding and they cannot translate the information what you're trying to share with them.
Yes, absolutely. It's a journey. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, we hear what we need to hear when we're ready. And certainly when you are living with something as deeply challenging as depression or sick, physical sickness, mental health, what I'm talking about is very hard. It really is. It was very hard for me as well. And this is why I speak about it in this way, because it's important, you know. I've worked with so many different practitioners, and I went all over the world looking for help. And when I healed of cancer, then people started asking me, well, who healed you? What healed you? What mm-hmm. was the tool? What was the technique? What was the food? And my answer has always been the same, which is everything healed me. Everything. Mm-hmm. Some people and some processes helped a lot, and other ones not as much. But I also, you see, what I'm talking about is my a perception, the way
exactly,
that I decided
exactly.
to
exactly that's
care.
What I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because and so for me, I would try and I would do things that I didn't feel necessarily had the outcome that I was looking for, but I chose to see them as nourishing me. I chose to see them as a rung on the ladder. And I think that that way of looking at things was my way of being responsible and saying, this is my journey, and I am choosing to see all the ways that I can love myself and everything that I do as nourishing me. And because I looked at it that way, everything did nourish me. You see, I gave that power to it.
And you know, another thing what is also important, a lot of the time, Danielle, people think, yeah, you know, in a week or a month or five weeks or so, you are done with everything. No, it can be a journey for 20, 25 or 30 years. Sometimes, you know, it is a long journey, you know, and certain things, it doesn't reveal itself because, you know, we are missing the maturity of our understanding of the consciousness or perception.
Yes. Healing is not the same thing as curing.
Exactly. Thank you.
And healing is a journey. And it's a constant journey. I'll be walking it for the rest of my life, personally, because it's that journey of coming into balance, coming back into harmony. Coming back into who I am authentically. And, you know, life is it's challenging. It's not an easy walk for any of us. We all go through ups and downs. And so healing is really about taking what you're experiencing, what your life is giving you in any given moment, and working with it.
You know, it would be kind of easy if we could just put ourselves in this invisible bubble and, you know, being by ourselves, then we would not have any kind of interaction with the outside world. We would be fine. But we are constantly interacting with the outside world. And that is actually a challenge in itself.
It's a challenge and it's a blessing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a challenging blessing, I would say. You know, because we are one, we're interconnected. And the beautiful thing about it is that the more you do this work on yourself, as much as you might feel totally alone and totally separate and so out of step with the world, the thing is that the deeper you go into this desire to heal and to be the best version of yourself that you can be, you impact all of us with this, Because your desire to come into your heart is something that you express and exude. It affects us all. And so thank you to each person who's doing this, who's walking this path, because it's a difficult path. It's an arduous path.
Yes, it is. It is.
And it's a profoundly helpful one for us all.
And also, I would actually also immediately would like to add another sentence, Danielle, that a lot of time when people are dealing with a very challenging condition, they are saying, well, I have to fight this X, Y, Z, I have to fight this and that or whatever. And they are not understanding that we are not fighting.
Well, you know what they say, what you resist persists. And so when you fight something, you're in a state of resistance.
Mm-hmm. You're giving more energy to it.
Well, you're actually feeding what you don't want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's more important to be able to work with what life is giving you. It's actually more powerful. And so in this way, say, for example, if it's cancer, then how do you work with cancer? How do you work with it? So you look at it and you say, what is there here for me to learn? How are the ways that I can really love and nourish myself deeply? My body is telling me that I need to look at the way that I have created my life. How can I heal? What are the areas? Where do I need to learn to love myself? How have I been withholding care, nourishment? In what ways have I been judging myself and judging my life and judging others? And am I ready, willing to let go of that? Yes, because forgiveness is profoundly liberating. And in this way, this is how we work with something. Not by resisting it, not by fighting it, but actually using it to teach us and to grow and to really look at all the different aspects of ourself. This is holistic healing in this way. How can I care for myself physically, emotionally, mentally? How can I bring in a greater sense of peace and acceptance for myself? Cancer is a profound teacher. You know, you can either look at it as something that you're going to fight, or it can be something that can teach you. And in the teaching, the healing occurs. It's amazing because you're not working with it so much as a negative. You're working with it, and you're working with it in the sense of a constructive way. As a wake-up call.
Well, this is why I'm saying, you know, I think, you know, in this 21st century or in this new era, what we are actually dealing, we are approaching so many aspects of ourselves. You know, before it was just, you know, working on our physical body, but now we are kind of challenged on a much, much deeper level and different levels. Mm-hmm. And it's a work. And I think a lot of the time, as you were talking about, you know, when you go into the pain, people are not willing to relive the past. They would rather push it away and just kind of totally disconnect, but they don't recognize that actually when you push something away, you're giving a part of your own energy to that anyway.
Yes. And guess what? Toxic thoughts, toxic emotions buried deep within you become dis-ease. That's the thing. So for anyone who thinks of the physical body as being the only area to heal, you're missing a phenomenal opportunity to understand as well that when we hold toxic, negative, heavy feelings, we store them in our bodies.
We're storing them in ourselves.
We're storing them in ourselves. And when we push them away, we're suppressing them. They're not being released. They're only going deeper within us. And deeper within us means that they will manifest in some way or another at some point in our life. and in our experience.
I call that, you know, we are pushing them into the basement, and when we least expect anything, they will pop up.
Oh, yes, and there's a lot of cobwebs in the basement. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, for us all. Absolutely for us all.
Tell me about it. Danielle, I would love you to talk or share, actually, since you traveled so much around the world, you had so much interaction with different cultures and healers. I would like you to share, you know, stories, if you can share with us, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
And you actually, you came across amazing teachers also.
I'm getting chills. Yeah, I have been so blessed that, you know, and I have to say that when I first got sick, I didn't see the gifts, because you don't see the gifts, because it's just so hard. Mm-hmm. It's only with time when I look back and I see, wow, this journey, just because I was willing, just because I wanted to hold on to what that healer told me, which was that I could heal myself, because I wanted so very much to follow that. I let that lead me to many different countries and to many different kinds of healers. And now as I look back on that, I see the blessing, I see the gift, I see the way that it changed who I am and who I am becoming. And it's been incredible. So one of the first places that I went to was Brazil. And I was called down there to work with a couple of very extraordinary healers who have since passed on. And what they did was so incredible, because they would materialize out of thin air. They would go into my energy field and materialize the denseness, the darkness that I needed to clear out, which was all the trauma, all the pain, and clearly the sicknesses that I held and that we all hold. Over the years, I worked and spent a lot of time going down to see John of God. I started going there in 2001 and would spend easily a month and a half to 3 months a year, and have since then. I find that that's an incredible place. John of God, João de Deus, has got a center in Abadjania, Brazil, where millions and millions of people have come over the last 30-plus years for profound healing. What I was drawn to with João was that he says very simply, I don't heal, God heals. It's God that does the healing, and he works in creating this space where people come, they meditate, they journey, they receive energetic healings, but it's not so much surrounded about him. It's really about coming into this awareness that we are not alone. And when you go down there, the journey is very much a communal one, because you're in a town which is completely filled with other people who are also living with some very life-challenging situations, and they are seeking as well to heal. They are seeking to open their hearts. They're seeking answers and solutions. And so you come into this place where you meet other people who are on a similar journey. Because let's be honest, talking about pain and cancer is certainly not a topic that most people really want to chat about. So many people are afraid. So when you come into a place where everyone else is on the same journey, you have this incredible opportunity to share. And for me, that was very important. And that was as important as receiving the energetic healing that I received at the Casa. It was doing it with other people and that journey of learning. Because as I said, we all walk our own path, and people there were doing things, and you know, there's no guidelines, there's no rules to how you walk this. We're free to walk it as we personally feel called.
Well, that's amazing. This is very powerful, Danielle, okay? That, you know, everybody, there's no rules how to do it. That's amazing.
No, I mean, there's when you go to the casa with John of God, where he works, there are rules when you are there, you know, is and that you need to respect. But that's the way that he's working. But in general, that's not to say that you need to take that away. The only rule that you take away from there is one of love, service, compassion, and faith. And so it's really about working with the divine. And in this way, that really spoke to me tremendously, because the day begins there in prayer, and the day ends in prayer. And it's really about giving up and giving over, which is essential. It's that willingness to say, I need help, and I'm calling in help. I need help, and I'm ready to develop my faith. Faith in myself, and faith in the unknown. Faith in the mysterious, faith in the magical. Faith in the
miraculous. Well, that is connected more with the natural laws then.
Yes, this is faith healing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for myself, this was something that spoke very deeply to me, and I noticed right away that I was receiving profound surgeries there, psychic surgeries that were having an immediate effect on me physically, as well as emotionally and mentally. And from there, I continued to work at the Casa, and I've continued to go back every year since 2001. But another place that I was very drawn to was the Philippines. And again, these two countries are very unique in the sense that there's a very strong presence of faith and faith healers. And also, it's another place where which is the only two countries where you have psychic surgery. And so I was drawn to go to the Philippines and to begin working with Reverend Alex Sorbido, who is the head of the faith healers and the psychic surgeons there. And that was a profound place as well, and an incredible place of love. Again, here's another amazing healer who travels the world doing psychic surgery, and he himself again says, I do not heal, God heals. And what he talks about always is forgiveness. Forgiveness towards yourself, love towards yourself. Because when you can forgive yourself and love yourself, then the healing begins. Then the ability to love others begins. Then unity and miracles begin. And these are men, both Reverend Alex Sorbido and John of God, are incredible men of faith. And that conviction has created their ability to be able to hold that space and to hold an energy that heals, that brings through that healing of the divine in such an incredible way. And they have affected millions of people's lives all around the world. And I would say that those two men have continued to have a profound effect on me, mostly because of their faith and the way that they give up and give over to the divine, and that's and our ability to heal ourselves.
That's so powerful. That's so powerful.
Yeah. I have seen this so many times, Magdalena, all over the world, be it in Australia with the Aboriginal healers, in Papua New Guinea, in Irian Jaya in Indonesia, in Peru, in the Amazon. These are always, each time, the teachers that I've met, the healers that I've met, they're coming from a heart-centered awareness. They're not coming so much from a place of judgment. They're coming more from a place of unity consciousness, acceptance, gratitude.
And you know what is also amazing? These are all indigenous people. They are still not so much infiltrated with the intellectual properties, and you know they can still hold their heart connectedness to the divine.
Yes, and I've also found this as well with phenomenal healers in New York City. I mean, this is the most beautiful thing about us as humans, is that there are beautiful people everywhere who are doing this work. But it's a work which requires incredible integrity. And it means that you're not just talking the talk, you need to walk the talk. And that takes courage, that takes strength, that takes conviction, and that takes utter humility. And it means it's a constant journey of getting out of the mind. This is why, for myself, I've always been drawn to the faith healers. And this has been the foundation for what I do as well, because the work is always to create sacred space and to invite someone to go into their heart and to connect with the power that is there and the love that is there and the inherent ability that they have there, and to know that there is help, that there is an incredible consciousness, an energy source within this universe that is so loving. And the help is here, but we need to open up to it. We need to invite it in. We need to be willing. We need to ask for it. And when we do that, when we open up to it, then we start to experience profound miracles.
And I would, Daniela, actually like to, with that, I would like you to guide to your book, what you wrote. And so do you mind to share about those experiences and, you know, how you came to write the book?
Absolutely. Thank you, Magdalena. Mm-hmm. Well, along this journey, you know, as I was saying, I would meet other people on this path. And I really wanted to learn. How were they walking it? What were they doing? What was working for them? What wasn't working? And also, I'll be very honest, I had a tremendous amount of shame around my own life, because I felt that I had fallen so far. I had destroyed my life in so many different ways. And what had been a very beautiful career and life was in pieces. And so there was a sense of shame, and so I felt that maybe if I could just speak with people one-on-one, it would help. It would help me to understand, and it would help my healing. And so that began a project that I call the Sharing Project. And I would sit with people, and it started where I would seek out those that had had miraculous healings, people that had been in a wheelchair for 12 years and were now walking. People with inoperable brain tumors with a 0% chance of survival, now becoming the only person medically known to have survived this and the tumor becoming a cyst. You know, I sought these kind of people out. And you do meet them when you are traveling around to healing sanctuaries around the world. You know, it was a wonderful opportunity to sit and talk with people. So I would sit with them. And the whole point of it was to just to share and to hear their stories and to share my story. And what started to happen was I started noticing that as I shared my story with them, well, they would relax right away, because I think they were like, well, you know, this girl's made some pretty big wrong left turns at Albuquerque. Let's just call it that. She's really screwed things up. So, you know, they would open up about some of the stuff that they had done. And it was really...
So their story was not that bad, huh?
Exactly. And so what was interesting is that I have to say, there was only one rule that I had, which was when I would share my story first, and then I would just sit and listen to anything that they had to say. It was just listening. It was holding space, you know? We really need to be heard. People have so much pain, and they need to be heard, and they need to hear themselves speak as well. They need to be honored. We all need this. We need to hear ourselves, and we need to share. And something would happen in those exchanges. I would sit with them in this place of compassion, and understanding. And they would begin to tell me their stories of how they had gotten sick, or and how they were journeying it. And the most incredible stories came out, and such raw honesty. And what would happen is, in the sharing, there would be these aha moments where we would have clarity. It's like we would come into this awareness about something about our lives, because here's this person sitting with you and hearing you talk. And you when you talk with somebody and you share your story with them, you hear it, and you start to become aware of the choices you've made, and you start to become aware of how you've gotten to where you're at. And so these sharings were always profound, in the sense that we would walk away having learned something about ourselves and one another. And I love doing them. I just love doing them, because I found them so helpful and healing for me, and they did too. And it was a really beautiful opportunity to really look at the journey. And we started, you know, clearly look at our pain, right? We were talking about our pain.
Exactly.
And I started to realize that by sharing in this way, pain is an experience of revelation and creation. It reveals to you so much about your life, and it also allows you this opportunity to create something new. And so the sharings just grew. I became obsessed. I did them all the time. In fact, somebody was calling me Babwa Wawa of Abidjania. Abidjania is where John of God is, and Barbara Walters, you know, is always talking with people. So they called me Babwa Wawa.
You know, okay, you have a new name.
Well, talking about the woo-woo, you know, this is woo-woo energy we're talking about here. But over the years, I've done 93 of these sharings. And I've done them with people as old as, you know, in the a gentleman who was 92 who survived the bombing of Nagasaki. He was a prisoner of war in a camp there. And he was down in the mines working as a prisoner of war, a Jewish prisoner of war during World War II. And the whole bombing of Nagasaki occurred while he was underground. And I listened to him share his profound story. And I learned so much about forgiveness from him that it was just incredible. And I've done these sharings with a 9-year-old girl from Ireland who said to me, you know, she grabbed, and I would record them. She grabbed my microphone and she said, you know, I wasn't always a positive person, you know. I was 6 years old before I realized I had a choice.
Oh, my God.
I know. Listen, out of the mouths of babes. And this is a girl who was, again, there for healing. And I was sitting with her at the time. I was, you know, early 40s. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm sitting in front of a master teacher here. I have a choice. And so from each one of these people, I learned something. And I sure hope that they also took away in their hearts that gratitude. I know that many of them spoke about what they learned about themselves as well, but it's profoundly healing to look at our lives and, you know, what we were talking about before, which is become aware, be present with one another, be present with yourself, and be willing to look at things. Because when you do that with an open heart, you begin to transform, you begin to change. Your stories change, your thoughts and beliefs change, and you initiate an opportunity for growth and transformation that is so profound. And so,
Danielle, I'm so touched. Oh my God, I have extra tears in my eyes. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know we have 5 more minutes, and what I would like you to do is tell our listener about the work you do in webinars and how they can actually get in touch with you. So, and you know, your final thoughts.
Thank you, Magdalena. Sure. Well, the book that I wrote is called Living Through the Heart, and it's based on these stories of healing and transformation from these everyday people like you and me. And it looks at the 7 components necessary to self-heal. And it talks about, in their words, their quotes, how we heal. And I use it, this book, to teach a course that is going to be available online through New Earth University very shortly. Right now I teach it at Metropolitan University, and it'll also be available to be taught online through New Earth University and a New Earth course. So that'll be available to people all over the world. And I also work with individuals and groups as a transmedium sound healer. So I do this work of speaking with people and giving them the tools and supporting them in their journey, but I also bring forth the languages of light, which are light codes that help release energy blocks and initiate profound healing physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And this is how the universe works through me, or how I serve in this way. The healing work is sung, and it's light languages, multiple light languages from creation that wrap you up and spark intuition, initiate shifts in the body and in the DNA and in the physical and in the heart. And they also help us to expand and open up to our own gifts so that we can really step into our own ability to create our lives and to be visionaries and to really to create and to co-create together from that place of power, as opposed to that place of pain and victimhood. And this is my work that gives me great joy. I love.
Oh, you are so passionate what you are sharing, my gosh.
Oh, well, this is the gift of having walked this path of pain myself is, you know, there comes a point when you just want to share and support others as well, because we don't need to suffer. We don't need to have suffering. When we can work with pain and really use it to help us to grow and to shift, then we can use it as a transformational tool.
This is why I was saying when I started the show or the interview that you're a prime example. Yeah. You know, and if you have this capacity, you know, to use that what you learned for yourself and, you know, apply in the healing process and be an instrument or, you know, holding the space for other people's. Because I think, when you had this own experience, you know in your heart how does it feel, and you're much more compassionate about others.
Yes, and it's so important to go into our hearts and for people to make the choices that speak to them. Whatever the medicine is that they choose to work with, follow your heart. That's my number one message always. We have incredible wisdom. Each one of us has this incredible wisdom within ourselves and this incredible ability to transform ourselves, and we need help. We need help to get there when we're feeling weak and when we're feeling powerless. And that's why we have practitioners and doctors and all of these supports. And there is help. There's help for people. But the people that can help you the best are the ones that will help you to go deep within you and listen to your own guidance and your wisdom and follow that.
And also, I really wanted to kind of encourage people that, you know, if you are thinking that you cannot bear your pain or it's just too much, listen, on the other side of the tunnel, there's a pretty amazing energy, actually.
Yes, I find we need to give up and give over. And whatever way you want to do that, invite in help. You know, ask for the help and invite it in. Be open to it.
And you know, and another thing is, if you don't want to face this now, face it now, we will have to face it later, but we still will have to face it because it's a part of the journey.
Yes, absolutely. There's no avoiding. There's no avoiding the learning. But we have a choice, you see. We always have a choice in how we learn, because we can either learn through fear or we can learn through love. And it doesn't matter what you've done up until now in your life. In this moment, you can change. And in every moment, you can choose something new. And that's your power. That's our power. That's what we can do.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Danielle, I'm so thankful. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, it's very touching. It really touched deep in my heart. And I thank you for your sharing. And folks, I think I hope I didn't disappoint you when I said she's a prime example. So, okay, we are getting to the end of the show. Oh, wow, that was amazing, Danielle. So, listen, I just wanted to thank you for taking your extra time. And I think, did you let Allison know about your TV show, Healing Yourself?
I haven't yet. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, we have to do it because we have to close.
Do it on Monday on New Earth. We are launching a web TV show called Heal Yourself, Living an Empowered Life, where I'll be speaking with all kinds of people about this journey and how to really nourish yourself. And that will be ready on Monday, and you can go to newearth.media/TV. That's newearth.media/TV. And I'll also be putting up a link on my website, puregracelight.com, or you can join me on Facebook at Pure Grace Light. I'll be putting things up there as well, and looking forward to walking this path together, as we all are walking this path together of healing, aren't we, Magdalena?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so grateful that I actually met you. And I have to thank actually Dr. Jane, you know, that she actually recommended you to me. And I'm very happy about that. I, you know, followed through.
Oh, it's an honor.
I know. Okay, well, we have to close. We are running over a little. So thank you so much, Danielle. And I appreciate it. And yeah, you know, we will stay in connection.
Thank you so much, and blessings to everyone for joining and sharing together.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.